excited about that. But Jack Law, the man who rolls out of bed looking like he's an Abercrombie and Fitch model, is actually going to come up and bring us home and land the plane, the aviator that he is, with the Galatians. So I'm going to pray for our brother Jack and pray for myself that he doesn't kill me after that. Heavenly Father, thank you for this group of men. Father, we thank you for the just amazing blessing that it is to gather as a group like this, to sharpen one another, to grow in your word, and to do life together. So Lord, we thank you for that. I thank you for my dear brother Jack and the words that you are going to bring through him. We thank you for this amazing semester. And just open our hearts and our minds as Jack helps us kind of put a bow on top of this amazing semester we've had. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all guys hear me all right? Not feeling the love from table eight over there. A lot of laughter going on. It's Nordstrom Rack. Absolutely. If anything looks good, you can guarantee Rebecca picked it out, most likely from Nordstrom or Nordstrom Rack. Great deals on good jeans, by the way. Oh, you missed the trivia. I know you guys feel a little deprived. I'll give you a little trivia this morning. Just call it audible here. You can just show digits, you know, and it's less than five, Dallas, so you're going to be good. Of Mary and Joseph, the parents of Jesus, how many were in the line of King David? Anyone know? I see some answers. 14? Yeah, 14 were in the line of King David. No, two. Both Mary and Joseph in the line of King David. Mary through Nathan. No, not Nathan, right? Yeah, Nathan, yeah. Anyway, that's something I think I learned from Marty a long time ago. And you know what? There's another long time ago I've been thinking about today. Rebecca and I bought our current house that we live in. We moved in just after New Year's 2001. So we're fixing to hit, that's a Texas word. We're fixing to hit our 24th Christmas in that house. Now that's a pretty neat, it's cool, it's been a while, we've been here. The sad thing is, this will be the first Christmas, if things go the way they're going right now, no children in the house, just me and her. So Jay, if you're listening, I'll be there on December 25th all day long, all right? But yeah, I'll be missing the kids a little bit, but I don't know, and who knows what the Lord has in store for us for what's going to turn out. All right, let's move on. I don't have a lot of time. I told them I wasn't going to take much time this morning to wrap up Galatians. You do have a little worksheet in front of you, a little notes pages, just because I wanted to give you something to take away. If I say it, it lasts in your head about 5 minutes. If I give you something to write down, it lasts, I don't know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. But if you like these themes and if you want to refer back to them, heck, just keep this piece of paper. We're wrapping up Galatians today. There's six themes of Galatians that I'm going to go over. There's nothing magical about these six themes. They're not the six themes. They're not the six best themes. They're not necessarily the six main themes. They're six things that Jack liked as he went through the schedule, as we broke it up, and I looked at a different, and I even thought about, oh, Tom talked about this, and George talked about that, and Jay, and I realized there was so much interplay. It's like George and Tom and Jay and Jack all talked about this, and Dick, and so I gave up on that, but just know that it really, these things weave through. First, I got two, a.k.a. the blab, thank you, Dallas Shaw, the bottom line at back. So our great Marine Corps briefing technique, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to tell you what I told you. This is the I'm going to tell you what I told you part, right? We are heirs to the promise made to Abraham. This is the promise when the angel of the Lord catches Isaac's arms about to, Abraham's arms about to sacrifice his son Isaac because he's a man of obedience. And what is the promise that the angel made to Abraham? I will make of you a great nation. I don't know why this gives me goosebumps. It's pretty simple. They will be my people, and I will be their God. The Abrahamic covenant. And we follow that later on with the Mosaic covenant. We have the Davidic covenant. We have the new covenant coming up. So we are heirs of the problem. What does Paul write in Galatians about that? If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We talked about during the semester, an heir is not a slave. There's a difference. The heir is free. The heir has the power, the authority of the father. We related that back to the story. The prodigal son said, put on him my robe, my ring, my sandals, for he is my son. He carries my authority. That is who we are. We are free from the bondage of the law. Therefore, as heirs of the promise and through the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ, we are free from the bondage of the law. And we say in Galatians, if righteousness could be obtained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. This is a very, very powerful verse. This is not a verse that was like in my sinews before I started studying Galatians. I guess I'd heard of it. I'd heard it. It makes a lot of sense. Man, that's a powerful verse. This is a lot of the gospel message wrapped up right there. Oh, by the way, I'm giving you a couple little icons on the right as we go through these six themes. We'll have six little pictures. Again, something to keep in mind. Promise of Abraham. Christ on the cross, I found this picture of Christ facing away. No one saw it. Christ died for nothing. If no one was paying attention, if it didn't mean anything. And we are new creations, baptized in his death and burial, raised to life. The symbology, the baptism, and our youth minister does such a great, raised to new life. Love it. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Are you a new creation? Are you a new creation? So I thought about this almost as like a proclamation. If you've ever, you know, read one of these proclamations, whereas this, whereas that, right? So these three themes are kind of like the whereas. Whereas we are heirs to the promise made to Abraham. Whereas we are free from the bondage of the law. Whereas we are new creations. Therefore, now's the proclamation part, right? We can stand fast in the freedom of the gospel. It's funny because in searching for study material or books to do Galatians, I never ran across this book. But I was looking for images to put on this slideshow, and there's this book, A Quid Without Any Quo. So you lawyers in here, you know the quid pro quo, or you're just a fan of Silence of the Lambs. Something, this for that, right? You give me this, I'll give you that. It's a trade. Galatians, in the opinion of this writer, and I think it's very good, is the quid with no quo. I just give you this. You owe me nothing. It's a pretty good gospel message right there. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery, Paul wrote. Why do you run back to your chains? Why do you go back to the law? You're free. And we can live by the power of the Spirit. Therefore, we can also we can live by the power of the Spirit, not of the flesh. I'll explain that asterisk in a minute. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Yay, I'll never have to worry about my flesh again. Uh-oh. It's this little underlined part that helps there. Because we do have to worry about our flesh. Somehow my passions and desires are not still hanging up there on the cross. They're like in my shirt pocket. They're in my back pocket. I whip them out every now and then. I look at them. Hopefully I ignore them. Sometimes I put them on. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. There is actually a little bit of a command here. The Spirit, we live by the Spirit. We must listen to the Spirit. Obey the Spirit so that we can live in the power and obedience to the Spirit. But this is an obedience of grace. This is something that is given to us to walk with the Spirit and to keep in step with the Spirit. Oh, and I mean, that's like one of the coolest doves you'll ever see. This brother's on fire flying through the air. It's not one of these like little tame doves you'd normally see descending and whatnot. This one's on fire. This is the fire of the Holy Spirit recounting in Acts where tongues of flame appeared above their house. They were led by the Holy Spirit. They were imbued with the Holy Spirit. And therefore we can also serve Christ and not simply strive to please people. And I had to refrain from putting down the passage that I got to talk about up here, but that's all right, talk about it anyway. For if I am striving to please people, I am no longer a servant of Christ. Paul writes, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself, which he gets from Leviticus, if you want to go back and read the actual command, which then Jesus talks about later as being like unto serve the Lord, love the Lord your God and with all your heart and mind and strength. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. For in these two commands, the entire law is fulfilled. Right? This is it. That's the gospel message. So, the first three things. Therefore, we can stand fast in the freedom of the gospel. We can live in the power of the Spirit, not of the flesh. We can serve Christ, not strive to serve people. Oh, and your little icon picture for that. I loved that series of billboards, the God billboards. You guys remember those? That was kind of fun. So that love thy neighbor thing, I meant that. I like that. But I started each of those with, we can, right? We can. We're free to, if you want to speak the language of Galatians. We're free to stand fast in the freedom of the gospel. We're free to live in the power of the Spirit, not of the flesh. We're free to serve Christ and not strive to serve people. I don't often pray in the middle of my messages here, but I'm going to pray right now. Lord, may we can become we will. I thank you for blessing all these men. I thank you for them being here this morning. Amen. May we can become we will. Couple little parting thoughts. Okay, Paul's own parting thought of Galatians, last verse, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. Well, I mean, that's just kind of like, see, I mean, that's very standard how he ends everything he writes, right? I don't mean to diminish it, but maybe it's not his real parting thought of Galatians. Let's look at the penultimate verse. That means second to last for you Marines. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Paul is saying, I will practice my gospel, which is his gospel. I will teach his gospel. Let no one cause me trouble for it. This whole book has been about the trouble of guys who come along. Whoa. He's saying, no, not necessary. Let no one cause me trouble. So, how do you view the gospel? How do you live your gospel? How do you live Jesus' gospel? And can someone come up to you and cause you trouble about it? Now, certainly, the trouble could be, oh, you Christians, or I don't believe it, and all of that. Fine. But, of course, the trouble he talks about in Galatians is other believers trying to tell you how to believe. Let no one cause you trouble about that. He bears on his body the marks of Jesus. Now, Paul bore some serious marks. He was beaten, right? He probably had actual marks. But I think we bear in our bodies, we bear the crucifixion marks of Jesus. What do we do with those? Do we show them to other people or do we cover them up? Are we embarrassed about them sometimes? Are we ashamed? Do we cover them with vice? Do we cover them with pride? Do we cover them with fake humility? Or do we look at those marks and say, thank you. Thank you, God, for this message. And I'm not going to let anybody make me ashamed of that. Let no one give me trouble. Parting thoughts. I turn you back to your tables with some discussion questions and just a review of those little iconic pictures. Hope some of this will travel with you. And we're going to talk a little more, a little in a few minutes, about some connections between Galatians and a next semester study. So that is it. Thank you very much.